Good to be with you guys. If we haven't met yet, my name is Greg. Very excited that I have the opportunity to speak. And if you've heard me speak before, you know you can't just sit back and listen. I'm going to have you busy. You're going to be talking to one another. You're going to be talking to me. At some point, someone, you know, may break out in the dance. That's fine. You know, just there's a little area here. But here's the first thing you can do. In your bulletin is a paper that looks like this. Take that out and fold it in half so it looks like a little book. Here's your little take home, a little book. Now, don't start doodling yet. I've got different tasks for each of those panels, so hang on. If you already doodled, that's all right, but hang in there. So let me just tell you, I love living in New York. I was born here and I love New York, and there's a lot of blessings about living in and around New York City. But there's some challenges as well. Let's talk about traffic. We've been there. It could be a little crazy. You find out just how much you need Jesus when you're in traffic. Also, finding a parking spot in the city can be a huge chore. Now, I'm using this picture specifically because this is a picture of my wife's parking job. Isn't this impressive? I mean, it's amazing. I could not believe she got into this spot. I had to take a picture. I was so impressed. I mean, she's like my hero. The challenge is, though, we haven't had a car for a week because we can't get it out. But other than that, I was very, very impressed. But one of the things that's fun about living near the city is we have access to the New York City tabloids, the Post, the News, and I always love reading the headlines, front page, back page. They're always clever, usually often punny, a lot of fun. And so I actually went online to find some samples, and I realized most of the covers really aren't appropriate for church. Maybe that's why they're so funny. But I did find some. Here's one from the All-Star Game. Aaron Judge, moonshots over Miami. I like that one. There you go. This one was a sad one for me. Breaking Bad. This is when Juan Ligaris fractured his thumb. But still, it's a great title, a great headline. And then if you do commute into the city and have to ride the subway, the MTA admits, we are a train wreck. Of course, that headline could also function for the Mets as well, but we won't talk about that anymore. But here's my question. What would your headline be this week? How has your week been? How has your week been? What would your headline be? If you could recap your week, what would your headline be? Be thinking about that, because I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Actually, I'm going to give you exactly 30 seconds. I got a countdown clock and everything. And I want you to think about it. Here's my headline for the week. Go ahead and show that one, Grant. Pain in the back. I've just been nursing a bad back. So just pain in the back. That's my headline. So what I want you to do is I'm going to give you some time. Try to use words if you can. You can use, put a little picture in there. If you just want to use pictures, here's some samples. If you haven't had a great week, put something like this. If you're totally freaking out, you could put up something like that. And some of you, and this talk about Grant and Lauren maybe, got a little love going on yet. Yeah, baby. All right, come on. So if you could recap your week, what would your headline be? I'm giving you 30 seconds. Go. Draw it in that first little box, your first box. Five seconds. All right, just real fast, show the person next to you what you did. And if any of you were kind of like too cool for school and didn't participate, loosen up. You're going to have some more opportunities here. Anyone want to share a headline real fast or shout it out? Say, one more time. Proclamation of Independence. Gail, I heard you one. Say one.
Mega.
Say it again.
Mega.
There you go. What else?
Blessed.
All right. So last week, Pastor Corey talked about some of the challenges the church in Jerusalem was going through. It was exploding with growth, so there was this tremendous momentum. It was an exciting time, except for the religious leaders, which is kind of ironic, right? And if you're a religious leader and you see this movement of God, you ought to be encouraged, but not these religious leaders. These religious leaders were freaked out because suddenly they were losing control, which is a good thing. They were losing control. They weren't too happy. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's a Bible story. But I really want you to listen carefully because you're going to have to tell it to the person next to you or in front of you or behind you when we're done. So pay close attention. But just for some context here, we got a growing church, and we have some nervous religious leaders. All right, ready? So the high priest and his officials were jealous of the apostles. In fact, they were so jealous, they arrested the apostles and had them put in jail. But an angel of the Lord came out at night, opened the gates of the jail, and let them out. And the angel said, "Go to the temple and give the people this message of hope." All right, just time out, pause there. This is just me, not the story. I love that phrase, message of hope. This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is the gospel. We have this message of hope. It's one of an encouragement. It's one of purpose. Regardless of what your headline read last week, whether you had a pain in the back or some other issues, that doesn't have to impact how you experience life. It's okay to be, down and hurt and frustrated, but there's this message of life that we have that we can experience. It's not a message of burden, of guilt, of condemnation. If you ever feel that way or think that way, that is not from God. God has this message of hope. Okay, back to the story. Give them this message of hope. So the next day, the apostles entered the temple just as they were told, and they began teaching immediately. I love that. Time out, aside. I love that. It began teaching immediately, right? Some of us, at least I should say, sometimes I go into a setting and I have an opportunity to whatever, meet someone, encourage someone. But I don't, it's funny, I'm a pastor, but I get freaked out around people. True confessions. Hello, my name is Greg. I'm freaked out by people. And so it's a stretch for me. So a lot of times I sit back. But not these guys. They just immediately began teaching. Okay, back to the story. When the temple guards saw the apostles teaching, they arrested them again. And they brought them to the officials so that they can be interviewed. Not really interviewed. They could be spoken to by the high priest. Here's what he said. "We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name," referring to Jesus. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with his teaching, and you want to blame us for his death." Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." And check this out. He says, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God placed him at a place of honor at his right side, acknowledging him as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel could repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses." Oh, we just sung that, didn't we? "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. All right, let me end there. We'll continue this story in a minute. So I want you to retell this story, and you could do it kind of, you know, as a team. Don't put all the burden on one person. Just, you know, turn to the person next to you or two people and just kind of retell the story as best you can. Go for it. All right, regardless of where you are, start to wrap it up. Speed version. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to open this up in the next panel. I want you to come up with a headline for the story. What's a headline, or what's an image, what's something that you remember that really stands out from that story? All right, take 30 seconds and go ahead and recap that. Here's my headline. I came up with Witnesses. You like that? Use Harrison Ford from the movie Witness. I just thought that was pretty clever myself. No one's very impressed. But Witnesses, that stood out to me. There's a verse from that chapter. It was chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, where Peter says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit who is given by God to those who obey him." That term, witnesses, it's used 35 times in the New Testament, a variety of different contexts. Let me just share four of them. Here's the first, Matthew 18, verse 16. I'm just going to read it quickly. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." So it's the idea of really no one stands alone here. We're not to be isolated. If and when one of us sins, we need to encourage or challenge one another depending on our attitude. And if we need help from another witness, we need to do that because we are a community. No one stands alone. Here's another example, Matthew 26. "The high priest tore his clothes and said," he's referring to Jesus, "he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy." So here we have a bunch of witnesses who are witnesses to something that was false. So what kind of witness are we? Are we a witness of what's true, a witness of what's false? Another example. This is from Acts 7, and it's referring to Saul, who later had his name changed to, anybody know? To Paul. Acts 7 says this, "At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him." And that's not, you know, stone, not like, you know, something illegal here, but legal in Washington, Oregon, Colorado, yeah, etc. I'm talking about like rocks. It would hurt. "Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul." So here are some witnesses to evil. they were witnesses to his death. One more. This is Peter's witness. And I'm sharing this one because He's one of these apostles who we're just hearing about. He's one that said, hey, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Well, let's rewind his tape a little bit. Matthew 26. He says, now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Stop calling me Shirley. No, he didn't say that. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Big shift for Peter, don't you think? From this scene to this next period that we just talked about, where he is this bold, God-fearing witness. So here's the question for you, for kind of that next panel, that third panel. How is your witness? What is that looking like? It could be going great. It could be terrible. How is it? All right, this isn't a time to try to make ourselves look good. Let's just be honest with one another. How is your witness? Here's mine. Here's what I would say. My headline is this. Don't give me back talk. Jay Reese, go ahead and put that next one up. Don't give me back talk. Huh? That's what my witness has been, you know, like this week, where I constantly just have to evaluate, you know, am I going to allow my discomfort and my pain to dictate how I interact with people, how I feel, whether or not I'm able to be thankful for the life I have? You know, it's just constant battle. I have a choice to make. So what would be your headline for your witness this week, where you are right now? Take a little bit of time for that. You know, I don't know how your week was in terms of your own evaluation on your witness. I hope many of us had something positive. And for those of us who had a negative experience, here's the good news. The good news is, let's look at Peter. Before Christ died, Peter lied. Peter lied in order to protect himself. But later, Peter told the truth in order to proclaim the name of Jesus. First, he was afraid to die. Later, he's like, I'm going to live even if you kill me. I know where I am going. So we're going to play, the band's going to play a song for us here. It's called Break Every Chain. And what I want you to do for this last panel, is I want you to envision a positive witness for Jesus this next week. What will your headline be? next week. If you could pray for your future, what would your headline be? Take some time during the song on that last panel. Say, this is going to be my headline this week. This is what I am determining.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To continue the story, we left them where the high priest basically condemned them to death. But there was a Pharisee, one of the religious leaders there, name was Gamaliel, and he spoke wisdom to the council. He basically said, look, there's been all kinds of uprisings in the past, but they all die out. So let's just give this time. If it's not from God, it will die out and everyone will forget it. But if this movement is from God, we would be fools to confront it because we would be fighting against God. So the others took his advice, and here's what it says in verse 40. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Now, that's just more than a slap on a wrist or a fine. Like, they physically beat and abused them to the point of, like, ripping their skin and losing, you know, massive amounts of blood. So they were physically abused. And they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now, my first response, if I'm one of those apostles and I just went through this experience, my first response is, I'm getting a lawyer to defend my right to say what I want and to sue them for physical abuse. And then I'm kind of considering what I should do because I don't want to have to go through that again if I speak the name of Jesus. Well, that wasn't their response. Verse 41, the apostles left the high council, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. They weren't intimidated. They weren't discouraged. They weren't fearful. They were motivated. They were empowered. They were eager to follow God wherever He led. Let me share this quote with you from this author, Matthew Kelty. He says, Peter was an unlikely prospect for any serious endeavor. Charming, generous, enthusiastic, but unsteady, fickle, and cowardly. To him were entrusted the keys to the kingdom. Paul, he was a proud bigot, self-righteous, vindictive, and prone to posturing. Yet he was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. With such material, the power of God made heroes. They were the very human foundation of a very human church, which is at once the presence and power of Christ on earth. We are the church. So if you don't feel like you measure up, congratulations. None of us measure up, and we're in good company because Peter didn't measure up, Paul didn't measure up, David didn't measure up. We can go on and on. Yet God used them to change the world, and God is inviting us to be part of His plan. So what is your hope for your headline this week? Is there someone that you need to serve? Is there someone you need to encourage? Is there someone you need to invite over? Is there someone you need to ask for forgiveness? Is there, you know, what's your headline? What is that going to look like this week? Here's my challenge. After the message, after the service, there's going to be folks who would love to pray with you. And because of the room, it's set up differently because they have a concert later. The prayer team is actually going to be standing in the back. And I'll be hanging out in the front. If you want to share, hey, this is my hope and prayer this week, I want to sign it as a witness that this is our prayer together and covenant with you, agree with you to see God do that. Heavenly Father, thank you that you use people like us. At least speaking of myself, I am a guy prone to sin. I'm a very selfish person who likes getting things the way I like them. Yet you still receive me. You call me your son. I don't understand it, but I say thank you. Thank you for inviting me into your family. And folks, this is for everyone. If you haven't asked God to be the leader of your life, if you haven't surrendered and said, that's it, I'm in, just say a prayer like this. God, I'm in. I surrender. I just ask you to forgive my sins. I thank you for Jesus, and I want to be a Jesus follower. I don't know how to do it, but your Bible says your Holy Spirit will enter me, and your Bible says I'm part of a church family, and I've got men and women around me who are going to walk with me. God, give me strength to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.